Hi, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. This is Louie coming to you from the back room of the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia, and I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year. I know it's January the 21st, and everybody's already done their New Year thing. In fact, we've inaugurated a brand new president. That was quite the sight yesterday. I don't know if anybody saw it or not. But again, regardless of your politics, the history was absolutely mind-boggling. And it made me proud to be an American. And I don't even know, some people say that's not that cool of a phrase to say, but I was proud to be a part of this nation, the 44th peaceful transfer of power in the history of our nation. And the sight of it and the wisdom of the founding fathers to say that on this day at noon, in this way, we will swear in our president, and all that history coming to life, it just was beautiful. And it made me really happy to be in this country, and it obviously made me understand, again, the responsibility we have, not just as Americans, but as people who've been tuned into the kingdom of God, to be agents of change in the world. And so it was an incredible day, but whether you're way over the new year or not, I don't know, but I want to say Happy New Year. This is our Welcome Back podcast for 2009, and Jonathan has assured me that we're going to be on the air more often in the next couple of weeks, and we won't leave you hanging for a week between podcasts. Hopefully, we'll keep things rolling around here. But I wanted to start off today with some amazing New Year's news. And if you've already read the blog from yesterday's post, which obviously could be a few days ago from when you were listening to this podcast, so that just made no sense what I said. But we posted a blog yesterday on Tuesday on Inauguration Day that's titled, He Did It. If you've already read that blog, you can just kind of start smiling right now. If you haven't read that blog, you need to sit down, because what I'm about to tell you is absolutely incredible. And I say amazing a lot. I say incredible a lot. You can use the word awesome. You can use as big a word as you want to use on this story. But the whole idea is that the New Year's come, the world tour is long since over. We haven't forgotten you guys in London and Manila and Sao Paulo and Kiev and Stockholm and Hong Kong. But the tour is done, and a couple of months have gone by now. All the bills have been paid. But we didn't quite hit our goal in terms of raising every penny necessarily to pay all the bills. But we did something amazing, and that's still worth celebrating. And in the blog, I mentioned there's a note that I got about this time last year. In fact, probably on this day, 2 years ago, I was on a tour bus in Phoenix, Arizona, starting the How Great Is Our God tour. It was January 2007. We had just finished Passion 07. We had just announced that we're going to do a world tour and head out to the nations. We didn't know anything about what cities exactly, or when, or where, or how. But I had flown out to Phoenix with Tomlin and Redmond, and we were starting the How Great Is Our God tour. And by the way, today is the 21st of January, and that's the two-year anniversary of Ashley becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. So for folks who are out there just kind of following along our story, how about that for amazing New Year's news today? And so she had just become a Christian. She was just about to send me an email the next day. So this was a pretty fantastic few days for us, because A, I'm getting an email from Ashley on the 22nd of January telling me that she just put her faith in Christ. But we do these tour nights there. We do two of them. And after the first one, we're not on the bus, because we're doing two nights in the same city and we're staying in a hotel. So the second night's over. I come to get on the bus, and I walk down the little aisle to my bunk. I look at my bunk, and there's a little bitty tiny note in an envelope in my bunk, and it just says Louie Giglio on the outside. I don't know who put it there. I still to this day don't know how it got into my bunk and whatever, but I stand there and just tuck it down to the side of my mattress where I've got a few things in my bunk, and I said, well, you know, I'll read it later. It's great. Somebody left a note, and when I get back in the bunk later tonight, I'll check it out. So I get back in the bunk a little bit later. I open it up, and there's this little card in it that I'm holding in my hand right now. That Brad and Jonathan and I are looking at, and it just is one of those kind of, you know, little scripture verse day spring cards or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, that's nice. So I open it up, and it reads this. It says, Louie Giglio, thank you for your commitment to the young people of this generation. I believe in your vision for the Passion Conference and one day bringing that to the rest of the world. May God continue to expand your vision and bring it to pass. In Christ, Evangeline. And I don't know, Evangeline. never met her. I don't know who she is. I don't know how she found us, but we were just a couple of weeks away from Passion 07. We were a long way away from Atlanta, Georgia, and Phillips Arena and the World Congress Center. And in my bunk is this little note from Evangeline. I don't know her still to this day, but there was a check folded in half in the note, in the envelope. And, you know, doing what we do, that's kind of one of those moments where you just always are like, what in the world? And I opened the check, laying in the bunk, and the check was for $5,000 from somebody I don't know, just early on saying, we're behind you. And like I mentioned in the blog, I just felt right then and there the wind of God and at our backs. And I thought, well, this is a crazy idea and a crazy dream, but I think I feel a little bit of the breeze of the Spirit of God behind us. And I think we're going the right direction, and it's going to be a crazy ride. And obviously it was. We've said it a lot of different times now, but what was a crazy dream and what Evangeline believed in 2 years ago has now become amazing history, and I still can't quite put words around it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the podcast, by the way, about it's a good thing that Jeremy Cowart was there, because it's hard to put words around what we experienced. But long story short, fast forward, we did the tour. It was incredible. We ended up spending on this tour $5,422,920 exactly. And that, by the way, was a lot lower than what we thought it was going to cost. A lot of great cost-cutting measures happened. We were able to save money, started to learn how to do things more efficiently. So we're able to shave like $1 million off what we thought it was going to cost. But check this out. On January 7th, a couple weeks ago, we only needed $75,115 to totally fund the Passion World Tour. And I don't know about you, but that is like a huge A-level miracle of God. And I'll tell you how we got there. And this is on the blog, because I just want everybody to see all this, and I wanted to be completely transparent for everyone. But we started with $232,742. That money came from Passion 06. So if you were back in Nashville, and you remember us giving you those city-specific offerings like Toronto, Boston, and New York, and we said we want to keep going to the cities, you guys gave an offering, and in between there, we didn't go to any cities. And so we had that money sitting there to go to the cities of the world. So we started with that. Students, that's those of you who are at Passion 07. You gave $250,000 on the spot, by the way, that day we mentioned it. All of you who came to the U.S. regionals last year and the year before, all of you at the 17 World Tour cities, all of you gave collectively $872,346 towards the Passion World Tour. So if you add those two numbers up, that's over $1 million that students gave toward this world tour. That is crazy. Six Steps Records contribution, and I say in parentheses, thank you for buying our music. Six Steps Records gave $1,278,944 to help us go to the students of the world. So if you don't think it makes a difference between, you know, lime wiring a CD and buying it at Amazon or on iTunes, I'll tell you it makes a difference, because those of you who did enabled us to do that, and that's pretty huge. Other people, Evangeline and other people like her around the world, they gave money. Some people gave $10. Some people handed cash to me in Australia in an envelope, $20. I'll never forget that, and carrying it all the way home and giving it to Gina here in the Passion House. Some of you gave every month $100 or $80. Some of you gave thousands of dollars, ten thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of you did. And all that, coupled with Evangeline's gift from all the way back in Arizona, totaled up to a grand total of $2,852,062. And so we're still going. Hang on. So some of the events were ticketed around the world. Some were free. Some were very low cost. The low cost ones, all the registration money that we collected, $261,281, for a grand total of all that money put together, $5,347,375. So on January 7th, we only needed $75,115 to fund the world tour. And I think you know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, but it's not January 7th, and that's the good news of today. But around January 7th, if I'm just being transparent and honest with you, I'm thinking, okay, the tour's over, the end of the year giving is over. Some folks who had said they were going to help us, I knew that they'd come on some very difficult times when the economic downturn, and I knew that we weren't going to see some things that had been promised to us. People don't hardly ever give to things that have already happened. If you think about asking people to give to help great causes, they rarely give to causes that are over. that you give to causes that are either ongoing or are going to come. And so in my mind, I'm thinking it's January, the year end has come, we're done, that's pretty amazing. Let's just keep celebrating that, and let's build a great story out of that. But on January 8th, something amazing happened. I was still at the house, and Shelley was in her office here at the Passion House, and she called me, and she said, hey, I'm holding an envelope in my hands. You're not going to believe it. There's a check in it. It's a check we weren't expecting, that we didn't have on our books, that it was completely out of the blue for us. And she said, you're not going to believe this. It's for the world tour, and it's in the amount of $150,000. And I said, nothing. This is long pause on the phone, and I'm just letting that soak in because I heard her. I didn't need to ask her to repeat it. I heard very clearly what she said, and I just thought, oh God, you are absolutely amazing. And in one day's time, before we flipped it around to the 9th of January, which, by the way, we invited all of our volunteer city team leads, 84 of them from around the country, to come back and celebrate the world tour together. And when we came into Atlanta, to this cool little art gallery, we had this gathering on January 9th. We'd gone from needing $75,115 to being up $74,000 something towards our World Tour Cities for 2009. And I just want to say that's incredible. I don't care how many times that goes through my heart and mind. It's still hard to believe. It's still stunning. It's still crazy. And if that doesn't blow you away, then I'll tell you this much more. We're not on January the 9th either. It's January the 21st today, and January the 20th was yesterday, and we got another gift for $25,000 for the World Tour. And somewhere in between the 9th and the 20th, I noticed that we got a few other gifts. And so we have $118,000 in the World Tour account, $118,680 right now towards the four World Tour cities that we're going to announce very soon for 2009. And that's just crazy. It's a miracle. I say Happy New Year, and I say the new year has begun with God doing a miracle, and it would have been a great story to tell all of our lives. Man, we started with $5.4 million need. We didn't know how we were going to get there. We got all the way to $75,000 of it. But no, that's not God. God is an overabundant provider, and He does what He says He's going to do, and He provides for the things that He puts on the hearts of people to do. And so I want to say thank you to you, Evangeline. I'm not sure you're a podcast listener. I don't know. I'm guessing by the handwriting. I'm not sure how old you are. I don't know anything about your circumstance. I realized when I started that, Jonathan, that I don't need to go there because you don't say anything about how old women are. So, Evangeline, your handwriting makes you look like you're 25 years old and gorgeous, unless you're 18, and it makes you look 18. And if you're 12, then it makes you look 12. I don't know how old you are. But I want to say thank you to you, and I want to say thank you to every single one of you, to little Kennedy, who did a lemonade stand, and to the notes that we got written on Post-it notes and flower-shaped notes and notebook paper with little dogged edges where it was torn out of a spiral notebook, and some that came on letterheads, and some people that just gave online, and they didn't want any recognition. They just wanted to say, we believe in this vision, and we want to be a part of what God is doing, and we want the students of the world to have a chance to hear the message of the fame of Jesus Christ. And I want to say thank you. We have something to celebrate, and not only is God doing something beyond our imagination in the lives of these 100,000-plus students we were with, but He's done something in our hearts by doing a miracle. And that's the new year, and I don't know what you need. Some of you need a miracle of some kind right now. A lot of you need financial help because the whole world seems to be falling apart around us. Some of you, it's stuff in your family, it's stuff in your own heart, it's things that you know, even maybe 3 weeks ago thought, here's my New Year's resolution, and that's already long gone history by now, and you're already gravitating back to the old ways and the old things and the old thoughts. But I'm telling you, it's a new year. It is a new time. God is God. He is impervious to economic downturn. He is impervious to any kind of the effects of culture. He is who He is. His promises are sure today, and He can do what He says He can do. So Charlie Hall's going to take us into a little break with New Year. I love this song. I started singing it in my heart just at the turn of the year and just have been thinking about it and listening to it all these days. And so here's a little New Year from Charlie Hall. and let it encourage you. And as you listen to it, just give a shout of thanks if you can. By the way, someone came on and posted a comment on the blog saying they were reading the blog in class. Now, is this a good plan? Is this what Passion is really wanting to foster? But they said, I'm reading the blog in class, and I really want to shout out loud, but that would be a good idea right now. So to whoever you were, I'm with you. But hopefully some of you are outside in your car somewhere private, and you can just give a big shout to God for doing an amazing thing. Thank you for being a part of it. And that same God is available right now to all of us. So here's New Year from Charlie Hall. We'll be back in just a minute.
My heart beats like a drum, flying up with the sun. I grab your hand again, renovated with life, my eyes again bright, and you are radiant. We're hoping on the hand of sorrow, we can walk into tomorrow, where peace is found in troubled days, and the joy of Jesus carries pain.
Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. And speaking of New Year, we got some pretty big news around here. Most of you know by now that we are planting a local community of faith here in Atlanta, Georgia, called Passion City Church. And if you haven't found us online, we're passioncitychurch.com. But we are actually launching. You know, this has been a dream and an idea that's sort of been taking shape for the last few months. And February the 15th, it's going to become a reality as we do our first gathering downtown Atlanta at the Tabernacle. And we're excited about it. And some of you guys that are around the nation, yeah, obviously you're like, okay, I'm not in Atlanta and I'm not coming. So you can just fast forward to the next part. But for those of you guys that are local and you're thinking about being a part of our launch on February 15th, there's a couple of things you need to know. One, the tabernacle is not very big. In fact, the tabernacle is an amazing place. And I think the fact that God brought us there for our first gathering, originally we were going to meet in January for the first meeting, but due to some circumstances, we pushed back to February. And January wasn't going to be at the tabernacle, so now we're in this amazing venue, which was a church. It was Tabernacle Baptist Church. In fact, when I was a little kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, driving downtown Atlanta to church every weekend, you could see the marquee of the church from the interstate. And I remember those days. The church opened its doors, check this out, in 1911. Sadly, closed its doors in 1991. Sort of lost momentum somewhere along the way. The Tabernacle Baptist Church, in case anybody wants a little history, here's just a tiny bit of history. It was a great regional center of faith, and it was a conference center location for people from all over this part of the country, and it was one of the bellwether locations for Sacred Harp music, which, if you don't know what that is pretty incredible. It's four-part singing on the big-shaped notes is what they sang. So apparently they had big sheets of music for the big-shaped notes, and they put the altos on one side of the room and the basses on another and the sopranos on another and the tenors on another, and they sang these beautiful, harmonies and singing that way. And Tabernacle Baptist Church was like the place in this part of the country for Sacred Harp music. But interestingly, gospel music came along, and gospel music started to become very, very prevalent among churches and among believers, and Sacred Harp singing sort of began to fade away a little bit, and Tabernacle held on to Sacred Harp singing, and eventually Sacred Harp singing sort of faded out, and ultimately the church faded out. I'll tell you a little bit more later on as we do some of our later podcasts and maybe building up to our launch, but I know they had a service there in 1988. And what we found in digging around was that they printed 500 bulletins for the service, and that was a huge, big step of faith for them because their attendance was down to about 200 people. And this place seated thousands of people in its heyday. In fact, in the real heyday, back in the 19-teens and the 20s, it wasn't unusual for them to turn thousands of people away from a service at this church because so many people were coming from all over this region and from all over the city of Atlanta to worship God there. But in 1988, they had this service, printed up 500 bulletins, and that was a big step of faith for them. So you kind of saw that the church was, kind of facing extinction and endangered at that point. And finally, they closed the sanctuary in 1991. They had some other ministries going on, but as it turns out, the Olympics came to Atlanta. They decided with this great vision to build Centennial Olympic Park just a block away from the Tabernacle Baptist Church, which now is closed. And so for the 1996 Olympics, House of Blues guys came in with their eyes and they said, hey, that looks like an awesome opportunity. They got a hold of the property. They opened House of Blues before the Olympics and during the Olympics. And then after that, it was bought by Live Nation. And it's like one of the premier places to play in the city of Atlanta. I mean, Kid Rock has played there. So that will tell you everything you need to know about the Tabernacle. But the Blues Brothers played there. And one of them said, Jim Belushi said about it, that it was one of the most spiritual experiences that he's ever had. He said, being on the stage with that huge, big organ there, he just felt a sense of something being in the room. And I don't know. I don't count that out. I think there is a thread of the presence of God in what that place was established to do, which was to proclaim the name of Jesus to this city and to the world. But Counting Crows have been there. Meatloaf's been there. Marilyn Manson, Foo Fighters, Elton John. In fact, there's a DVD of Elton John's concert from the Tabernacle. Johnny Cash played there. Bob Dylan, Beyonce, Usher. I saw Keane there. I might have seen Athlete there, I'm not sure. The David Crowder Band, I did see them there, and they also have a DVD from Live at the Tabernacle. But incredible venue. And just as fate would have it, and as God would have it, I don't think it's fate, it's just the sovereignty of God. That's where we're going to launch this church. And we've been talking about that as a team, of just what Tabernacle means, and that whole Old Testament significance of the first gathering place of man and God. And it was in this tabernacle that was elaborately described by God. It would travel with the people. So as the Israelites are moving day and night, God wanted to be in their midst, and so he had them build this tent. Why a tent? So that it was portable. That was the whole idea, so that when God moved, they could move. When God stopped, they could stop. And so tabernacle, from its Old Testament root, it just simply means dwelling place or residence. It's the heart of God saying, I want to be with my people. And that's the way it worked. And you can read all that in Exodus and Numbers particularly, but Numbers 9 says it this way, and this is kind of the heart of what we want to be as a church. It says, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, that's the tabernacle, the Israelites set out. And whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order, and they did not set out. Now that, for my money, is what the local community of faith is all about. It's not about buildings. It's not about us meeting at the tabernacle or some ultimate place where I'm sure we'll have somewhere where we meet long term. But buildings can be the greatest enemy to that spirit of tabernacle, which is when God moves, we move. When God stops, we stop. We are looking at him. We're not boxed into four walls of a building to say everything has to happen here, and it has to happen here forever, and this church has to exist on this spot of ground in its present form forever and ever until Jesus comes. But it's more of saying, God, we want your presence more than we want a great building. We want your presence to authenticate and affirm to the world that you are with us and among us and that we belong to you. And that's what happened in Exodus 33. If you read that little encounter, it talks about the tent of meeting and the tabernacle and how Moses would go out to the tent of meeting in the middle of this chapter. And it says when he would meet with God, the cloud would come down and descend on the tent, and it would stand and guard the door of the tent as if to say, nobody else is coming in here, just Moses, high priest, him alone. And you can tell that I'm here meeting with him, but you don't want to be in here because it is an incredibly awesome thing to be in the presence of God. And it says when the meeting would be over, the cloud would go away. And when he was in the tent, all the Israelites who are now camped around this tabernacle would come and stand at the entrance of their tents, and they would stare toward the tent of meeting the whole time Moses was in there with God, as a way of worship and saying, God is meeting with us, and he's meeting with the representative, our leader, Moses, and we're going to stand here in honor of God in that moment. And if you don't know this passage, it's probably one of the ones that shaped my life the most. But what follows after this in the last part of Exodus 33 is Moses' conversation with God, and God is saying, Moses, I want you to lead these people. And Moses says back to God, how are we going to know that you are with us? If you don't go with us, we're not going to go. He said, if you're in the, and the Lord says back to him, hey, Moses, I promise you my presence is going to be with you. And he goes, well, I hope it is, because if your presence isn't with us, we're not going, because how else would we be distinguished among all the other people on the earth except that your presence go with us? And I think that that's in our hearts right now as we're launching this church. And I know it's in the hearts of all of you guys listening around the nation that are a part of churches. And it is, we don't want to be driven by the schedule or a calendar that says we've got to do something next Sunday, or we've, in our case, we have to do something on February the 15th at the tabernacle. We want to be driven by a heartbeat that says, this is God's. And this church that's being built around the world that's exalting Jesus, that's God's church, and Jesus is the one who's building it. And we want to be right where he wants us to be. And there is nothing that says we have to be anywhere else at any time else doing anything else. The only thing that matters is that we say, God, here's our number one priority. Here's the one thing we can't do without. We have to have your presence in our lives and in our midst and on this church, because if we don't, how will people know? How will they know that we are truly the people of God? It doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else. It just means that there's something distinct and different, supernatural about people who are now the tabernacle, who have now come to know Jesus, who've now taken on the life of Christ and the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. And if that difference isn't there, it doesn't matter. So we can meet in the tabernacle. A few people have told me, that's really cool. I knew Passion City Church would do something cool, and y'all are meeting in the tabernacle, and that's cool. And we could have a great evening. We could have incredible worship. We could have a phenomenal gathering, and people could walk out and go, man, that was church. That was cool. That was great. And we could completely miss the point and completely fail if people don't walk out the door and have a sense that they met, they had a transaction with Almighty God. There was something about the presence of God that was sensed by every single person that came through the door. And so we're headed to the tabernacle, but we're carrying with us that hunger for the presence of God on everything we do. 7 o'clock, February 15th, if you're in Atlanta or around here. And if you don't know what's going on, you need to go to our website and RSVP. I know that's a little weird, but it only holds 1,850 people, the tabernacle. And as of this podcast right now, we have had at our website 1,262 people RSVP. And so we're getting close just on hard RSVPs to maxing out our 7 o'clock gathering. And most everybody I've talked to says, I'm coming and I haven't RSVP'd. I don't even know what RSVP means. And so I have a feeling there are tons of people coming who have not RSVP'd. So we are probably maxed out at our 7 o'clock gathering already. And sometime in the next couple of days, we're going to be having to answer the question, do we add an earlier gathering time so that more people can continue to come? So if you haven't RSVP'd and you want to be a part of Passion City Church at our launch at the Tabernacle, you need to come to the website, you need to RSVP. If by the time you hear this podcast, a few days have gone by and you come, you might see that that 7 o'clock gathering is gone and a different gathering time has appeared. But if you know people coming, please let us know. The last thing we want to do is not have room for everyone. And the other last thing we want to do is create too many opportunities and have too much room for everyone. And we're really in the middle trying to figure that out. And you can help us by just coming. It's simple. Just give us your email, your zip code, and we won't use that email for anything else, but just letting you know about Passion City Church dates, times, and other gatherings that are added on. We'll be meeting also in March on the 22nd. Be meeting for Good Friday in April, doing a Good Friday service for the city of Atlanta with Chris Tomlin, Israel Houghton, and New Breed. Matt Redmond, Christy Knuckles, and myself, and it's just going to be a celebration for the city. You'll hear more about that in coming weeks, but we'd love for you to come from wherever you are around. Passion City Church is hosting it, but it's not just for Passion City Church. It's for anybody and everybody that doesn't already have a local church gathering to go to on Good Friday night. Then we'll be meeting again in May at Cobb Galleria, and then taking summer off, and then we'll have a few more meetings in the fall. And all that's coming, but for now, February 15th, Tabernacle, God's presence. That's what we're shooting for, and we want you to be a part of it. But if you are going to come, RSVP and let us know. And if you're somewhere else in the world and you're part of the Passion Movement, we would love to know you're praying for us and praying for a real significant supernatural presence that changes people and changes the night into what we really hope that it can be. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with some information that you're not going to want to miss for things that are coming up in Passion World. So take a short break with us, and we'll be right back to wrap up this edition of the Passion Podcast. Well, that was the first for the Passion Podcast, and a lot of you were curious when we mentioned the history of the Tabernacle and Sacred Harp. In fact, I know that's probably went way up on the Google hit list while the podcast is going on, because we've got, you know, 118 listeners globally. So I thought we would give you a little taste of Sacred Harp music. So that's what you heard coming out of the break. And I'm not sure that's exactly what we're going to be doing at the Tabernacle on the 15th, but nonetheless, it's still beautiful and an incredible part of the history of music and church music in this world, which I totally respect and have a lot of appreciation for. So a couple of things I want you to know. It's been great being back with you, by the way, but just before we go away today, a few things I want you just to be thinking about. One is a Hello Love Tour with Chris Tomlin is launching in Hershey, PA tomorrow night. That is the 22nd of January. And that's Chris Israel Houghton and Christy Knuckles is going to make a special appearance in some cities, but not every city. And so look for that. ChrisTomlin.com, all the details are there. It's going to be a massive night. Kickoff in Hershey. I'm headed up on Friday to see Newark, New Jersey, which is going to be huge, 6,000 or 7,000 people, and I'll never forget how great is our God in the Continental Airlines Arena. Oh, my goodness, and if it's anything like that, it's going to just be crazy. The next night, there will be in Baltimore, which is very close to selling out also. And after that, Philadelphia, PA, I'll be at all those stops, not speaking, but just hanging out, supporting Chris, praying for him, the band guys, being with Shelley and some of our Six Steps guys who are going to be there as well. And then they are off to, after that, the Midwest. So they're headed to Grand Rapids, Michigan after that. Actually, they're going to Penn State first, then Grand Rapids, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Madison, Wisconsin, and then to Council Bluff, Iowa, Kansas City, Missouri. So those are the cities coming up soon on the Hello Love Tour. So check it out, ChrisTomlin.com, and it's going to be an incredible night. Also, want to let you know that Passion 2010 is happening. And a lot of you have expressed your sadness to us via email, Facebook messages, and other contact that you're really sad that we're not having a Passion event in 2009, and we understand that as well. But we're launching a church on February the 15th at the Tabernacle, and we're going to 4 World Tour cities in May and June. And so it's kind of a crazy year for us. We will be looking back on Passion 2010 at this time next year, though, so it's not very far away. You need to already start planning for it. The dates are January 2nd through the 5th, back at Phillips Arena, the Georgia World Congress Center. And so you need to start dialing into that. The website, I think, is going to launch on February 1st. You'll be able to get all the information there. And registration opens, as I mentioned on the last podcast, on February the 16th. So the night after Passion City Church launch, we're going to do a live launch for registration for Passion 2010 from the Passion House right here from the back room. And it's going to be web streamed to you if you are in Sao Paulo, Brazil, or London, England, or Council Bluff, Iowa. Then you'll be able to log on and join with us for the night. We're targeting 8:30 to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so you can figure out where you are in the world. And, you know, some of you are going to have to wake up in the middle of the night, but that's going to be cool. But we're going to have some of our friends here leading worship. We're going to be praying for the World Tour cities and thinking back about what happened and for the ones that are coming up because they will have just been launched. And we're just going to be praying for students all over the country. And you can shoot us an email during the live launch and tell us what's going on where you are. Hopefully, once the live launch gets going and that comes up on our website, you can log on and let us know that you're going to be a part of it so we can start listing where colleges and universities around the world people are going to log on to the web stream. Be very cool to have a kind of running list of where you guys are. And then somewhere in the middle of it, maybe right at the beginning or the middle of it, I'm not sure yet, we're going to open registration. And the first 1,000 people who register are going to get a discounted price at $99. And so you want to be ready for that. So somewhere in the middle of the live launch, you want to be have the web stream going on. You want to be worshiping with us. You want to be joined together with students all around the world, just celebrating who Jesus is. And then somewhere in the midst of that, you'll be registering for Passion if you're one of those early folks who can get in at the $99 rate. 1,000 people can get in at that rate. So it's going to be a cool night. We're looking forward to it. So Passion 2010 live launch coming up on February 16th. And then lastly, but not leastly, we have launched the website awakeningthebook.com. And Awakening, we've landed on as the title for the World Tour photo essay book. And as you know, Jeremy Cowart was with us on the whole tour. You saw his incredible photography. He took almost 19,000 photographs on the Passion World Tour, culled those down to the best of the best of the best, okay? And on the best of the best of the best, we ended up with 2,000 images from city shots. That's just going out in Tokyo and taking shots at the city and the people and the culture. And then we ended up with about 2,000 event shots. And so the best of the best of the best, 4,000 photographs, and they are really, really stunning. And there's a little video clip at awakeningthebook.com, and it is crazy. It's got about 2,100 images in it, and it goes by in 4 minutes. And so you obviously just have to look really fast or watch it a whole lot of times. But it'll just give you a little glimmer. And we can't put 4,000 images in a book. We can't put 2,100 images in a book, but we can put a bunch of images in a book. And we're working on it right now. We finally landed on a cover. And that's what we were waiting for, to sort of let you guys know what's coming with the book. But so many amazing shots, so much to choose from. We finally settled on a beautiful cover. Jeremy and a designer he's been working with did an incredible job. And it's a photograph from Seoul, Korea. By the way, everything in this book, when you see these photos, are real photographs. You're going to think these were photoshopped and somebody took these into After Effects and did all kinds of stuff to them. But these are the real deal. And the photo on the front, it's a little bit inviting. It's not like super descriptive. I'm not going to tell you more about it, but it's just a little bit like you need to open the book and find out what Awakening is all about. So you can see the cover online at awakeningthebook.com. You can watch the little video. And then every day, we're going to be uploading one of Jeremy's photos from now to the release of the book, which we're hoping will be in April. And so every day, a new picture will be on awakeningthebook.com. And it's just a way of remembering what God's doing around the world. And you guys that are out there in Mexico City or Vancouver or Sydney, Australia, listening, you know, watch along. Maybe you'll see something from your city. You'll definitely see something from your city in the little promo video. You just have to watch real fast. I think Sydney, Australia is photo number one, so you guys are in good shape. I know that Cape Town, South Africa is the last photo, and so those two you'll know about, and in between is the world and what God is doing in the world. So Hella Love Tour is going on. It sounds like a little promo ending, but we're fired up. We believe in this stuff, man. We believe in what God is doing. It's what we live and breathe for every day. It's extending the kingdom and extending Jesus to the world. We've been praying for Chris Tomlin and his band. We're praying for more than concerts, for more than just people to show up. We're praying that people's lives will be changed. And Chris is going to be talking about 1 million can every single night, in the middle of the night of worship, putting worship with justice. And so, by the way, just a little footnote, and that's not even part of the podcast, but we're almost to $100,000 having been given since we launched 1 Million Can. And we started with $224,000, as you know, from World Tour Gifts for building wells. But since we launched it in Joburg, South Africa, we're almost up to our first $100 million being given. So that's on top of all this other craziness that's going on. People have given $100,000. I think I just said $100 million. Did I say $100 million? Amazing, people. 1 million can has just turned into 100 million can. That was just for Gladys, and that's an inside joke. But $100,000 is what I meant to say. Jonathan kept a straight face. I don't know how, but whenever Jonathan starts typing, I know I said the wrong thing, because he's making a little note right here at, you know, whatever time it is in the podcast. We need to go back and edit that out. So we'll keep it in. It was just a slip of the tongue, but maybe it was a foresight of what's to come. Maybe 1 million can in time will turn into 100 million can. That would be pretty exciting. But we've given $100,000 since we launched 1 million can, and that's pretty exciting. And Chris is going to be talking about it every single night. So I think we're going to get some great traction, and hopefully by the time we get to Passion 2010, we will have accomplished all those goals, and we'll be able to launch some new causes to change the world together in Jesus' name. So that's coming up, live launch February 16th, awakeningthebook.com. Check all that out. And if you're coming to Passion City Church at the Tabernacle, all I can tell you is I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit crazy, and it's going to be a little bit crowded. So you better check out the website, passioncitychurch.com. RSVP, come early, be prepared, and pray for the presence of God. Happy New Year, everybody. And I believe it's going to be a great year. We sang in 17 cities and 6 regional cities that greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. And if that's true, then oh my, what God has in store, because we've seen Him do amazing, amazing things. We'll be back soon on the Passion Podcast. Thanks for being with us, and take care.